Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Humanity is changing and growing, especially in our potential to awaken and evolve and take charge of creating our reality. And we needed to really unhook ourselves from the edicts of the past, you know, those things that seem to run us and design us. And there are a lot of different systems now helping us wake up. And I want you to meet today's paradigm shifter, Dr. Michael Cotton, who has Higher Brain Living. Is that the right title, Michael? Welcome to the show.
Yes, that is the right title, and thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm very excited. The things that I've been reading about your work and the YouTube that I've seen, you're literally, through your system, you're helping people shift from the drives of the subconscious and the lower brain and the survival brain into more active use of the higher brain. Is that right? The frontal lobes?
That is exactly right. That's a real core component of the higher brain living process, is shifting energy from that lower survival-based brain into the higher part of the brain where we can really thrive.
Well, first of all, tell everybody who you are, because that helps us understand some of the brilliant abilities that you have about shifting the mechanics of the body.
Well, I'm Michael Cotton, Dr. Michael Cotton, and I kind of started this journey many years ago when I myself had somewhat of a waking up experience. I had gone through life as a very anxious, stressed out child, a very fearful child. I have no idea why. I had good parents and a good household, but I developed chronic migraine headaches. I was put on heavy duty medication at the time. I just kind of fumbled around in my life and never really got resolution of the headaches. And I don't know why I was so fearful or anxious, but I ended up going through school this way, and I went through high school this way, and I graduated from high school, and I went to college because that's what I thought you were supposed to do. But I had no purpose and no direction in my life and no meaning in my life, and I just was kind of living for the weekend. And I got thrown out of college for a 0.57 GPA. My grades were so bad that I couldn't make it past a year. And wow. I went and started taking, I started taking minimum wage jobs and just kind of floundering around with no direction. And I went from one minimum wage job to the next.
And tell me this, you couldn't focus? Were you having trouble focusing?
I couldn't focus. It wasn't just, I mean, yes, but it was bigger than that. It was just, I just was kind of anxious and lost. There was just a sense of not really knowing what to do in the world or how to be in the world. And as I got into, into my 20s, I was just really confused about how I fit. And I was living for the weekend, basically. I was waiting to get done with my minimum wage job or my low paying job and go hang out with my buddies, right? And I was at one of these jobs, and I had been feeling for some time something kind of percolating in me that I couldn't explain, but it was a sense of change happening inside of me. And one day, standing in this kind of steel and aluminum factory, I had just this kind of this just shift in my whole beingness, for lack of a better term. And I had a surge of confidence, a surge of clarity. I had what I actually refer to as the view from 50,000 feet, where I was able, it was almost like I was able to see, like my consciousness had elevated to the point that I could see all of these patterns in my life, and that I was just stuck, mired in this muck of going through the daily motions. And I started to see that I had to get out of that. And I had there was a sense of joy, a sense of energy in my body, and a sense of clarity. And I almost, it was just like overnight, changed the whole direction of my life. And I started looking, and so part of that new direction was to also discover what had happened to me, you know, what had shifted in me. And so I...
Did you physically feel better then? Did you physically feel less anxious?
I did. And even more than just better, as I felt just profoundly different. Like my emotional state was elevated. There was an energetic change in my body. Everything just seemed different. And particularly emotional state and my mental state. There was a sense of clarity and empowerment is really the best word that I think I can describe the whole experience with. I just felt empowered, and that there was more to me than what I had been living. Hmm. And I then started looking for, you know, A, I got very interested in what had happened to me, and B, what was I going to do with the rest of my life? So I started just reading, just devouring everything I could read that had anything to do with consciousness and developmental psychology and energy work and brain physiology and yoga and every meditation at quantum physics. I just immersed myself in this, and I saw that I was on this path, and I decided immediately, and this was like really quickly after this happened, almost immediately, to go back to school. And so I decided to pursue a doctorate in chiropractic, but I knew very, very little about that. But I knew I wanted to learn this physiological piece, this anatomy and physiology and neurology and all of this from all of my studies. I hadn't really completely understood that element. And so I called the chiropractic college, and they informed me that, you know, a chiropractic degree was a doctoral program, and you had to do all of this undergraduate work to even get in. And of course, I had been thrown out of college my first year, at the end of my first year. So I had virtually nothing, and I went back to school. But the point around this is that I was a new person. I mean, almost that quickly, I was on fire, and I started taking.
It's like a near-death experience, isn't it?
That's not really how I describe it, because it was just more of a shift of clarity and empowerment and direction for me. And I started actually taking 32 credit hours a semester of undergrad work, more than twice the normal load of physics and chemistry and biology, all of this stuff. And I was just acing the classes, and I very quickly got my undergraduate work done. The chiropractic college accepted me because my GPA was then high enough. I got into chiropractic school. I went through a 4-year program in 3 years. I did the doctoral program in 3 years instead of 4 on an accelerated program. And I graduated on the national dean's list with honors. And so I only say this because it's, there's potential in all of us that's untapped. And it got me very, very curious again about why me, what had happened. And I was trying to put all of this together, and I knew that chiropractic was a stepping stone for me, but I used it to start studying all of these. Once I got information about the neurophysiology element, I started studying all of these kind of quasi chiropractic techniques and energy work techniques, and started looking for a system that could help other people have whatever happened to me. And at some point I had this aha moment that the missing link in so much of this self-development, even for thousands of years, was the brain, and that new information, new neuroscientific information, was disclosing that there was this untapped part of our brain. And I knew, it was like this aha moment, that somehow I had gotten energy into that, that that had shifted in me spontaneously. Hmm. And so I went on then to develop this higher brain living system, which helps energize that untapped, dormant, latent part of the higher brain, and helps people apply that to their life.
Well, you used your knowledge of chiropractic, you used your knowledge of physiology to sort of recognize the latent forms of our brain. It's kind of like the dark matter in the universe. We don't really know how to use it. And you activate it. Is that it?
Well, yeah, in a sense, that is it. And what we know, Veronica, now, and what I'm talking about now is just this modern neuroscience, is that the higher part of the brain, and one of the main key structures, is called the prefrontal cortex.
Okay.
And it appears to be the most, what we would call, recent emergence in evolution, meaning it's the newest part of our brain. And our brain has actually evolved in layers. Dr. Paul McLean from the National Institutes of Mental Health, the neuroscientist, was one of the first ones to point this out, that through evolution, our brain has laid down these layers, one on top of the other.
Hmm.
And he's the one who developed the theory of the triune brain, these three different areas, starting with the old reptilian stress, fight, or flight brain, and the fight or flight brain, and then the emotional mammalian brain that's still very fight or flight based, and then the cortex in humans. But he's come now to realize, and so have a lot of researchers, that there's another part of our brain called the prefrontal cortex. Paul MacLean actually referred to it as the fourth evolutionary system. And that part of our brain appears to be largely dormant, like it's anatomically available. You know what I mean? Like the structure is there,
mm-hmm.
but it's not getting energy. It's not metabolized. It's not being utilized anywhere near its potential.
But it's the one that creates and designs, isn't it? Doesn't that futurize? That's the one that's got the more vaulted future potential, isn't it?
Yeah, you bet. That's absolutely one of the capacities of that higher brain is creativity is a hallmark of really being able to get energy into the higher brain and being able to see out of where you're trapped in the moment. I remember I said I had that view from 50,000 feet. Well, the prefrontal cortex can see where you're going. It can project your world into the future. And then it can know what path to take or what steps to take to really be able to create that future or that new future that you're trying to create. But I also want to state, Veronica, that what we know about that prefrontal cortex now, and particularly that just higher brain complex, is that it's also the part of the brain that is associated with spiritual experience. It's the part of the brain associated with purpose in life, with meaning in life. There's even neuroscientific research now showing that that's the part of the brain that has to light up and get energy to have the enlightenment experience. They've actually done this in major universities where they've been able to take meditating monks or people in these deep samadhi states and show that prefrontal cortex is getting energy when it's happened in ways that it isn't in most people or in our day-to-day lives.
Well, Michael, is that brain scans? Is that how they're seeing the lighting up?
Yeah, absolutely. They do it with very sophisticated EEG, electroencephalograph equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And they also do it with like functional MRI or PET scans where they're able to measure what's going on in the brain. And so not to get too complicated about the science, the core point here is that there's a part of our brain that appears to be largely dormant. And that mm-hmm. part of our brain, it holds the key to what most of us actually seek in life that are trying to grow and evolve into something beyond what we are.
Hmm. One of the people that I interviewed many years ago is Lee Gerdes, who has Brain State Technologies. And you reminded me when you said the Tibetan monks, he works with the brain and the technology that recreates how the electronic energy of the brain works, and he was getting felons off of their habitual destruction. This isn't the same, but there's a link here that I really find interesting. If we do your kind of work, do we replicate the style of a monk, for example, the way the brain works?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and that's exactly what we think is happening, but it's even more than that. It's not only are we getting energy in that part of the brain, and then people consistently report going through the Higher Brain Living program that they have deeper spiritual experience, that they have elevated states of consciousness, that they have elevated emotional states, and they start to find their life's purpose. That's a real core of what I believe this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
This Higher Brain Living program is it help people get in touch with who they really are on those deepest levels. Because when we get energy into the higher brain, kind of by default, we drop some of that stranglehold the lower brain has on our life. And so we're able to get past that defensive fight or flight way of relating to the world. And we're able to get into those parts of the brain where more of our highest in human potential resides. And this system helps people discover that and get into that higher brain energy and then helps them create a strategy to actually live that way.
Wow, this is really exciting. Now, what would happen if I come to you? And I know you're giving a talk here in LA, and I'm going to try to come to it. The 10th of February, so it's only a week and a half away but it's a very exciting kind of reality experience for people, isn't it? Where you're going to show how it works and test it out on people.
Yeah, the live presentations, and I personally do not do very many of these anymore. I was in New York in October, and I will be in LA coming up very quickly. I'll be at the Conscious Life Expo, but we're also hosting that kind of marquee event, as you spoke about on Tuesday, February 10th. And what I'm going to be doing there is the first hour of it is going to be a Higher Brain Living presentation where I'm just going to kind of lay out this information about how Higher Brain Living gets energy into that higher brain, all of the potential in there, create an understanding around that. And then the last half of the presentation, which is 2 hours long, I'm going to also be doing live demonstrations with a couple of Higher Brain Living clients. We'll have clients from the area. We have facilitators all over the country, so we'll have some of their clients come that are involved already into the program, and the audience can see the profound, and I hope we get our conversations get to that, the profound response that happens in the body and brain as this energy is moving into
those
higher brains.
Well, I have to ask you how long it takes to feel a profound change and to see it.
Most people feel it on the very first Higher Brain Living session. They will feel that incredible response moving in their body. Now, keep in mind that with each of the sessions, it's a 22-step program. With each of the sessions, that deepens and grows and evolves. But we expect that people will feel that on the very, very first session. So to carry on them with the presentation, what I'm also doing after we do the demonstrations for people who are interested is I'm presenting our training and certification models that will be upcoming. We have several different models for people to themselves become higher brain living facilitators and be able to deliver this or utilize this profound work on other people. And so I'll be talking about how all of that works. People will be able to enroll in the training program if they so choose in the latter half of that event as well. And I might also mention they can sign up online on our website if they go to higherbrainliving.com and go to the attend an event page. They can scroll down and find the Los Angeles event. And it's free if they sign up online. It's $97 at the door, but it's completely free online.
Great. It sounds so fascinating. But okay, so who comes to you, not just to be a facilitator, but if I want to come to you for some kind of healing, what are some of the symptoms I might have? Maybe I'm depressed, maybe I'm ADD, maybe I'm sick. Who comes?
Yep, and I might mention, too, that I do not have a private practice because what I pretty much do full-time is present, host retreats, and teach. I train others in this. But if you came to one of the facilitators in your area that have been trained, it's the same question, then all of those things you just said might very well be reasons that drive you into a higher brain living center. And we see profound changes. Clients commonly report profound changes in all of those domains that you just mentioned. But what I really also want to state, Veronica, is that a great deal of the people come into this program because they are looking for more out of their life, not necessarily even that they have something really badly wrong with them, although we do see those people. Mm-hmm. But for the same person that same reason a person may begin the journey of a meditation practice or a yoga practice or any type of personal transformation practice, what Higher Brain Living really does is just help take your life to just unbelievable new levels. Hmm. And so if you want to create, you know, better and deeper relationships, if you want to start your own business, if you want to change your financial state, all of that involves getting energy into the higher brain, which is the part of the brain that can really make change, and then developing a strategy to apply that to your life.
Well, you're also talking about increasing oxygen to the brain, the parts of the brain that are dormant. Didn't I read that today?
Yes, and it's I say like metabolism or energy, which is a little more generic because there's several things that appear to be going on there. You know, everything from oxygen to blood flow to brain waves changing to neuropeptides binding to certain receptors, and so it's a wholesale change in those higher centers of the brain that help wake that higher brain up and shift us out of the lower brain into that driving part of the brain.
So when I looked at the YouTube, I was amazed at how people's body, when you're putting your hands on their head or the facilitator is putting hands on certain points on the head and I think on the body, right? Then
yeah.
Then there that a wave develops, sort of a wave of its own volition, right?
Isn't that wild?
Yes. Tell us about that. That is fast, mesmerizing to look at.
I know. And that's what we'll actually be demonstrating that at the event in Los Angeles. So here's what's happening around that, Veronica. So we have spent some time kind of establishing that there's this higher untapped part of the human brain that appears to be latent potential. It used to even be referred to in neuroscience as the silent area.
Oh, really?
Okay, but,
wow.
Yeah, that was a neuroscientific term, was called the silent area, because it didn't appear like much was happening there. And indeed, it wasn't, and I believe still isn't. But that raw material, when we upload into it or we get energy into it, there's inordinate amounts of potential there. So we've kind of established that there's higher parts of the brain that aren't getting energy and aren't functioning at their peak. But what else I think you know and your listeners know is that there's energy pathways in the body, that the body also has a latent energy, that there's a dormant latent energy in the human body that has been known for thousands of years, has been called dozens of different things by different healing arts and spiritual practices and wisdom traditions, and that energy has been called everything from chi to ki to prana to now modern science is starting to look at it in terms of its subtle energy implications, and that we also know there's pathways associated with this energy. The traditional Chinese medicine doctors or acupuncturists had terms, they called them meridians. They were called nadi points in yoga. The Kabbalist had systems around that. So the point I want to make here is that there are pathways in the body that are associated with the latent energy source that's been known for a very long period of time. Well, what I believe is that energy source in the body can be utilized to fuel that untapped part of the higher brain. In fact, I can't prove this part of it, but it's my belief. I believe that energy source even evolved along with that higher brain to be able to generate an energy source for that as it was in that evolutionary state. But the lower brain, because of the complexity of the modern world we've created, the lower brain stays in this kind of low level or fight or flight, and we've never really been able to upload into those higher centers.
Mm-hmm.
So what higher brain living does is it's cracked a code around how that latent energy source and those pathways are organized in the body. And we have a way to cue that through very gentle touch, light contact with the finger or thumb of a trained certified facilitator in a particular code. So we're touching in this particular code into these pathways. And when that's done in just the right way, energy is released or mobilized. Okay, and that energy then in our system moves through these pathways and starts to energize the higher brain. We've actually been able to show changes in EEG as this is happening with clients receiving the higher brain living protocol. And so as we cue these pathways, a trained facilitator does this over a 45-minute long session. The client or recipient is laying, let's say, on a face down on a massage table. The trained facilitator over a 45-minute long session cues these pathways. That energy then moves into the higher brain. Now, here's where the amazing part happens, and this is what you're seeing on the videos, and we'll be able to see live and hopefully even feel in your own body if you go find a facilitator. Once energy then builds into that higher brain, even just gently, that higher brain, in effect, starts to wake up, right? It's dormant, latent potential that's now getting nudged awake with a little bit of energy going in it that's coming through these pathways. And so once that higher brain starts to wake up, even just a little, it recognizes all of that latent potential, and it starts to create a feedback mechanism itself. Your own body and brain starts to create a feedback to start to self-energize. And that's what happens. What the recipient feels is breath starting to expand in their body spontaneously. Like, you're not even trying to take the breath. You can see this on video. But there's a three-dimensional almost swelling of breath in the body that starts to feel like every cell in your body is breathing, and it starts to cycle through you in this rhythmical pattern. And that's what you, one of the things that you see on the video, and that's your brain creating its own feedback, self-energizing. And the experience for most people when they feel this is that it feels like something is breathing them, not that they're even taking the breath. They're aware of it. They could stop it, but they just let it happen, and it feels remarkable because it's uploading energy into those higher structures and dumping stress out of the lower brain.
Does it feel like static or something? Does it feel...
It feels very joyful. It feels...
releasing endorphins?
Yes, and all of those things that are part and parcel to energy in the higher brain, it's very common that people start feeling them. They start feeling light. They start feeling stress-free. They start feeling happy. They start feeling joyful. And again, as it progresses, people start to apply that to their life. So it starts to feel purposeful and meaningful. And all of those kind of high-end human experiences are all driven by that higher brain capacity.
Well, do people, so it is mostly about finding your purpose or finding opening to your greater potential. Does anybody ever come to you with cancer or mental health? It seems to me mental health problems should be a big issue in here that can be resolved.
We have a lot of people that come for those reasons. In fact, one of the largest, we train people and certify people in this practice. We teach even lay people how to be able to do this on some of our licensing models. But we also have a lot of professionals that come in to go through our training program. And one of the highest utilizing groups are the psychologists and social workers. We have a lot of them, and many of them are even gearing up for research around this. There's a couple of them that are trying to coordinate a research study in an addiction center. They're bringing this into addiction centers. So it has a very profound effect from a healing standpoint for people, even though that's really not how we positioned it. You know, it's positioned more as personal transformation of just being able to create a new life that's so much beyond your old life that it's just unbelievable.
Well, very often addictions are kind of a subconscious program, and it's very devastating for people. That's how I see it anyway. I should think it'd be a great leap above it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for many people, and this is true of many things, but you know, addiction is there's something missing in the person, like that sense of well-being or joy or wellness. You know, they're constantly trying to find that through exogenous substances, you know, through putting something in or doing something outside to bring into you to change your state, to change your emotional state and your state of consciousness. Well, higher brain living, by getting energy into that higher brain, spontaneously starts to change that state. We start to feel more joyful. We start to have elevated states of consciousness. And so it makes perfect sense then that it's very common for people to drop out of all of those behaviors that they were doing to try to establish something that was missing, because now it's not missing. And so now they get to take that elevated state and through our step-by-step program, apply that to all areas of their life.
I think it's really exciting. And what about physical health then? In any case, is it not about creating reality and activating new consciousness levels? What am I trying to say? Do you think our species is facing an evolution potential that is more available than ever before? Do you think that's what we're looking at here?
I absolutely do, Veronica. In fact, there's a favorite quote of mine that Plotinus, who was a very well-known and very sophisticated philosopher in ancient Alexandria, but he made the statement even back there that mankind or humankind is poised midway between the gods and the beasts. And so I think that what he was intuiting, we're now showing on a neurophysiological level that the beast, you know, poised midway between the gods and the beast is that primitive part of our brain that evolved at a time when the environment was predator rich, and all it tries to do is keep us safe. And that will habituate sameness in our life, because sameness equals safety to the lower brain. And so midway between the gods and the beast, what we know about that higher brain is that part of the brain is where we have spiritual experience, where we have enlightenment experience, where we have purpose in life and meaning in life. And so I believe that we have these higher brain structures, and what goes along with that are these higher states of consciousness, but we haven't fully actualized it. And that's I believe higher brain living is a vehicle that helps make that shift into that higher brain.
I think it really sounds like it. How many years have you been at this?
It's about a decade now. I actually, I started developing it nearly a decade ago. I opened a private practice myself, continuing to research and develop the technique for a couple of years. I then opened another practice, continuing to research and development for another three or four years. And about 4 years ago, I launched it as a training program. I had all the information together to know that I could teach it to other people. And so about 4 years ago, I launched it as a training program, and it's now growing very rapidly. We have facilitators in most all of the 50 states now. We have some internet. We had someone from South Africa just go through our last training program. I had people on retreat with me just about a month ago when I hosted a retreat from Australia and from England, and they're planning on going through the training program.
So how long is the training program? And you did say you had like three or four types of training programs, right?
Yeah, there's a few different models, and that's actually why I'm doing the live events there, so that I can lay all of that out on a PowerPoint and make sense out of how all of it works, because there's online components, there's on-site components, and so it just depends on the particular level of training and certification that a person goes through. But I will present all of that at our upcoming event in LA.
Well, what I'm asking is, it would take years or months?
Oh, yeah. No. It takes, there's an online portion of it that is about 160 hours of online work. And a person can actually do that in less time. We've had people do it in substantially less time that are motivated to do it. But beyond that, then there's on-site training that a person can come for as little of a week of on-site training and get after they've done the online modules, of course, and then gain the first level of certification. And so there's kind of several stages or tiers or levels of our training certification program. But no, that does not take years. We are very good at teaching. Well, the training itself is incredible. It's kind of the thing that most excites me about all of this, because not just do people learn how to do this extraordinary technique and help other people change their lives in this way, but going through the training program is itself transformational, because we have retreat type days built into that where the people learning to do the work are receiving higher brain living in very specialized settings. And so you come out the other side of the training a new person, not just a person with these great new skills, but you have transformed in the process.
Wow, it sounds really interesting. I'm just going to do something a little bit different here. I'm thinking about how the new kids, as they're called in the metaphysical world, the new kids are these very, very sensitive kids whose brains are a little bit more sensitive than anything we've ever heard of. And ADD, ADHD, autism, Asperger's, all of those things are quite prevalent these days. Can this help that?
I've had a lot of success, as well as a lot of my facilitators, with kids that have had ADHD and ADD diagnosis. In fact, we have a handful of facilitators that came into this already with a profound interest in working with kids, that were occupational therapists, that were social workers, that were psychologists. That
could they be just parents?
Oh, of course. But I was just talking about that we have a growing body of facilitators that are kind of studying the effects on kids, that have even presented at major conferences now about how higher brain living is making changes in kids with ADHD diagnosis and many of these types of things. But
because
absolutely,
there are many people who believe that these conditions of the brain are a sign of our evolution. I don't know that for sure, but it seems like you're saying the potential. As long as we all don't have to go around waving in our bodies like that all the time.
No, you don't. You don't have to do that all the time. But I can tell you, when it happens to you during a session, most people describe it as the most profound experience they've ever had in their life.
Wonderful. Well, I want that.
Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't want it? Do you get worked on regularly?
Oh, yes, of course. I have a facility. I'm in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. That's where my main home is. I travel a lot. I'm leaving very quickly for LA, as you know. Mm-hmm. But I have there's a facilitator in the area that I go see on a regular basis and receive my higher brain living sessions and go through the programs. But I want to also add that as people go through this 22-step program, that they do learn, we actually form anchors. Once that response is learned by your brain to self-energize, mm-hmm. there's a way that you learn how to refer back to that. So you can keep that state. You can kind of upload that energy on your own without having to see a facilitator later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that's really exciting. So let's go back to kids and the evolutionary brain and the supersensitivity and the GMO broken food influences, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that? And will the brain repair itself? Will it become? What do you have to say about that? I'll let you decide that way.
Well, the brain will repair itself. In fact, one of the kind of recent revolutions in neuroscience is this idea of neuroplasticity,
right,
and
I
neurogenesis.
Like that. Yeah. Okay.
And neuroplasticity means that the brain, and what's so fascinating about this, Veronica, is it's just completely the opposite of what we believed even 20 years ago.
Okay.
And from a hard science standpoint, we used to believe that once your brain developed, it was in effect hardwired in. And then all you did over the next, 30, 40, 50 years of your life is lose brain cells. They couldn't be replaced, and it just got worse every day.
Yeah, that's how I was raised. We learned that.
Yeah, that's right. And what we know now, and I'm saying this is from an incontrovertible scientific fact, what we know now is that could not be farther from the truth, okay, that the reality of it is that the brain is what's called neuroplastic, which means that it's moldable. And so those neurons, although they will hardwire in, they can be unwired, and we can wire in different neurons. We can change that structure. Literally, the structure of our brain can be changed.
And that's now, changed by willful thought and affirmation and redirecting your thinking and feeling.
All of that, and your behaviors, your actions, your thoughts, your emotions, your belief systems change the structure of your brain. All of this we know, and it's what we believe is happening kind of times 1,000 with higher brain living, is that as we get energy into this part of the brain, now it's lighting up, now it's coming online, then we start to apply that into our life, as this system has a step-by-step guide how to do. Once we start applying that into our life, we are starting to remold that brain into our higher capacities, into our higher level living. That's why it's higher brain living, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the brain is, it can remold itself. This is a neuroscientific fact. But even in addition to that, we also know that there's a process called neurogenesis. So new nerve cells actually are being born continuously in the brain. We used to think there was an X number of them, and then they just started dying off for the rest of our life. That's mm-hmm. not true either.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put all of this together, what you see is that the brain, it can be shaped and molded and recreated. And there's, and what I'm saying is that that higher part of the brain, all of the potential to shape and mold and create that is just kind of laying there dormant.
So it sounds to me, as you're speaking, I get excited because I think, well, we should be able to recreate the flow of illness, the degradation of health, you know what I mean? So if somebody's really sick, we should be able to learn to reconstruct a healthier body, right? And like it should be good with the aging. Do you know anything about aging in this?
Well, I don't have any direct research around aging with this, but I know that we have a lot of very elderly people that go through the program that report feeling a lot more youthful. And that's very actually quite common. But I want to speak to that whole healing, health, physical body, all of that stuff, and kind of tie a mechanism, so to speak, in as to how I think this is so powerful regarding that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you probably do know, Veronica, but there's fairly recent medical research showing that 90% of all medical doctors' office visits are due to stress. They're due to stress physiology.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah, that makes
sense.
And what
they've shown now is that it doesn't really matter what the presenting complaint is, because we all may have, let's say, genetic tendencies towards a certain disease, or, you know, for me, it might have been towards migraine headaches, or for someone else, it might have been towards heart disease, or someone else, it might be depression. Whatever the case is, we may have certain tendencies towards things,
mm-hmm.
but what causes those to manifest so often is stress, the stress response. And here's why. Stress is actually a phenomenon that's generated by the lower brain. The lower brain's job is to keep you safe in a predator-rich environment. The problem is that it evolved at this time when the environment was predator-rich, and it is operating below the conscious threshold. And it reads the world from a standpoint of what could be lurking behind that rock, behind that tree that's going to eat me. And so it's always in that state of trying to protect itself. The problem is that as these higher brain layers have now emerged or evolved in us, those lower brain layers are so resilient because they've been there for millions of years. And they're the same in us today as they were, let's say, 200,000 years ago. That part of the brain is the same. But the world outside is not the same, right? The world outside doesn't look anything like the world did 200,000 years ago, but we're still trying to process this modern, complex, demanding world. We're trying to process it below the conscious threshold with these very primitive lower brain survival mechanisms.
So even our dealing with the IRS is bringing up our fight or flight or danger, 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 that sort of thing.
You got it.
And trapped.
You got it. That because the lower brain that does not have rational thought, does not have intellect, that's just a reaction machine below the conscious threshold, the IRS sending you a letter is the equivalent of a tiger coming out from behind the tree. It doesn't have a way to process beyond that. And so what it's doing is simply below that conscious threshold trying to protect you. And so it's reacting to things in your life as though everything was a potential threat. And this is actually what creates stress. Stress is the inability for your lower brain to effectively process its world. And the result then is that it starts to lock into this real fight or flight or defensive type way. It's becoming hypervigilant in effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so that then leads to the stress response we know is associated with every symptom and condition and disease on the planet. And there's major research showing that regardless of presenting complaint, what's laying behind that complaint, what's causing that complaint to manifest is this stress response. And so just the act of moving from the lower stress brain, from our center of gravity, right, from our way of being in that lower stress brain, just by moving into that higher thriving brain, that in itself, I believe, has a profound healing response, because you've now released that whole stress physiology that's creating so much of those healing problems in the first place.
I find that really exciting. My own guides have said for quite a while, humanity is capable of stepping beyond the subconscious and karma and all that. We're capable of stepping out of that. And this is another way of saying that very same thing.
Yes.
You know, not being run by, like, those stressors. I really understand that. And people are becoming a lot more sensitive as well. So the stress,
right,
the stress level is faster and higher. Wow. So you're
yep,
seeing.
Yep, and we just.
Go ahead.
There's a real key in that, Veronica, is that the lower brain cannot deal with complexity. It's
okay.
A very simple structure. It's just trying to protect you, right? And the complexity of the modern world, it just overloads its circuits. It doesn't know what to do with it. And so it creates these stress or anxiety states that's just the reaction. It's just laying there below that conscious threshold, kind of in this reactivity state, because it can't deal with everything that's happening in the modern world or in our modern lives. And the solution is getting into the higher brain, where we're not embedded in it. We can now see our way out of it. We can see solutions. From the higher brain, problems become opportunities. And from that perspective, we can then start moving forward in the creation of our new life, bringing that higher brain energy to our problematic relationships or careers or starting our own business or whatever that may be, that through this program consummates in really finding one's purpose and what I call living a fearlessly authentic life.
So tell me some, have you got any examples of people, for example, relationship changes or health changes or job changes? Have you got any examples for us? We love that.
Oh,
part.
Yeah. An unending stream of them. In fact, we have a Facebook page for just for anyone to be able to use. It's our Higher Brain Living Central Facebook page. And so clients can use it, or people interested can use it. But we also have a Facebook page for our trained and certified facilitators. That's a private group. And so those kinds of posts are happening on those pages almost daily, particularly on the private facilitator page. And there was just one today, in fact, that said her entire relationship to her husband had changed through this program because of who she had become. And when she changed, he changed. And so she said fell back more in love than they had ever been since the beginning of the relationship. And that we see that all the time. But I must tell you, Veronica, that what has also happened and happens in some really toxic relationships is that the person receiving higher brain living will sometimes finally get the strength and clarity to leave a relationship that's been just killing them. Okay. Mm. And so that also happens. But what's even more common is that it unites people in a much deeper way, and you start to realize your own patterns, okay, and how that's bringing about some of the change in the other person. That's just really common going through this program.
Oh, so you get a lot of self-awareness, eh?
Huge degree. That's a big, big part of this, is that high degree of self-awareness. But I want to add, not just are you increasing your awareness, but through this program, you have tools to do something about that which you become aware of, right? So it's not just become more aware. It's become more aware and then know where to go with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Know how to do your life differently, eh?
That's right. Yep. How to use that new awareness.
Wow, it's really interesting. So do you have any mental health examples? You know, mental health is a really distressing subject. Talk about stress these days, because we see so many people sitting on the streets, and I know it's not just incompetence. A lot of them are really mentally out of alignment, and I cry about it sometimes because it's hard to relate to them. It's hard to know how to enter their reality, you know?
Yeah, and again, I think this is a very, very powerful program for that particular field or that particular domain. And I believe, let me just tell you this, it's Higher Brain Living has already been accepted for continuing education units for psychologists and psychiatrists, mental health workers in a couple of different states, and we believe very quickly it's going to be across the country. I have personally spoke at a National Mental Health Conference in the state of Minnesota. They're a big annual event. We have, again, numerous psychologists who are now bringing this into their practices. Some of them have just quit practicing psychology and completely started using nothing but Higher Brain Living through their program. So it being able to get energy into that higher brain helps people get out of those old patterns and those old ways of being. And I'm with you, Veronica. I think this is a very powerful application for this Higher Brain Living program.
Oh, good. Well, and what about animals? Do you
get
on that?
I don't. I have been asked that a few times, and I have to be honest and transparent here. So I have a cat, and he has been experimented on a bit.
Does he like it? Does he like it?
Yes, he does like it. But I just must say that I don't really know enough about the animal's neurology and brain and subtle energy pathways. I just don't feel like I know what to do around that. And that, you know, and so it's not somewhere I've really put a lot of attention, because I feel there's so many humans that still need it, and we've got to make our path into that first.
And you know, you'll have some practitioners that are going to be able to apply it to animals anyway.
Right.
I'm really, really fascinated by all this. And I recommend to our listening audience that they check out your YouTubes, Michael Cotton's YouTubes on Higher Brain Living. And I'm still fascinated by that waving. What is it called, that natural wave that moves through it? What did you say? It carries subconscious, old programs up and out. Is that right?
Well, what it does is it brings energy to the higher brain. And what we actually have a term that we use, that we refer to it as a salutogenic breath and a salutogenic wave. And salutogenesis, I won't go into all of the technical details around this, but it's a term that's been used in recent neuroscientific circles that are beginning to look at the brain not just from a standpoint of what goes wrong with it, but from some of these new ideas that it has the ability to move beyond where it was and create these higher degrees of health and wellness and well-being. And they call those mechanisms in the brain salutogenic mechanisms. And so we kind of borrowed that. Yeah, we borrowed that term.
It's like saluting possibility, is it?
Yeah, and it's actually a derivative of the Latin toast, salute, right, which is a toast to health and well-being and vitality.
Wow.
And the neuroscientists, they borrowed that term. Well, we've borrowed the term from them to apply it to this energy, this movement of breath and energy in the body when we chew these pathways, because it appears to be engaging those higher centers of the brain, those parts of the brain that can create higher degrees of well-being and wellness, et cetera. And so we call it a salutogenic response, or a salutogenic breath and a salutogenic wave. And I, as you've seen on the video, it's very dramatic to see this happening in someone's body. And it's a testament in and of itself of the untapped potential that's in us. Mm-hmm. And that's why, actually, the reason I do live presentations is because as wild as it looks on the video, it's still just a video, right? And it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on this little computer screen. But I do the, you will see that at the live event. So when people come out to the February 10th LA event, I'm actually going to do two or three clients where you'll see that response happening live. You can come up by the stage, get really close to it, look at it, mm-hmm. and then talk to the recipients afterwards. You'll be able to have a conversation with what they felt when that was happening or how higher brain living has changed their life. We'll kind of open that up in that way during the live event.
Wow. Well, I'm certainly going to check in and I will meet you there. And this is Veronica Entwistle. We have to close off right now, except that it's just the beginning, a salutogenic beginning. What do you think?
I think it is just the beginning, Veronica. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael Cotton. I'm very inspired by your journey and what's coming through you. It's almost like you unhooked your lower brain and got into your higher brain for your life.
Well, I've basically devoted my life to this. So this is my purpose and passion, and that's why I want to, again, thank you for giving me a forum to really express this.
Well, it was my pleasure, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, it's Higher Brain Living with Michael Cotton, Dr. Michael Cotton. See you in LA.
Thank you.
All right.